Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Alderman Patrick Daly Thompson now joins that long litany of Chicago alder people who since 1970 have been convicted of a crime. The number is now 37. 37. And there's a couple more that'll probably end up in jail, including Ed Burke and Kerry Austin. To just talk a little bit about this case, we asked Jason Meisner from the Tribune to fill us in on some of the blanks. Hi, Jason. Thanks for saying hello. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Did they go after him in part because of his name, or were his crimes so egregious that it required federal criminal scrutiny?
Well, I mean, if you talk to people in his camp, they certainly think that his name made him a target. In fact, his lawyer said it in closing arguments. He kind of like had to insinuate it. He said, you know, they're desperate to convict Patrick Daly Thompson. That's exactly how he said it. It'll never come out in the transcript that way, but that's how he said it. But really, this all started with an investigation into Washington Federal Bank for Savings and an embezzlement scheme that was going on that led to the bank's collapse in 2017. In the course of that investigation, a lot of names came up, including William Mahone, who was a city employee in several administrations, and also the alderman, because the alderman, it turns out, when they started looking at the bank's books, had been getting interest-free loans without putting up any collateral, which is highly unusual, as you know. And so when they started digging into that, he was ultimately charged with falsely claiming mortgage interest on these loans, which were not mortgages at all, and also lying to regulators. When the FDIC took the bank over and started asking questions about these loans, he claimed he only owed $110,000, when actually it was more like $269,000. So that's how all this came to be.
So the interest that he escaped paying came to $15,000? Is that the number I'm seeing?
That's the tax loss, about $15,500, which is not a great amount. And, you know, in the pantheon of cases that are charged here, that kind of loss is really minuscule. But more problematic for the alderman, or former alderman now, is the lying, because those counts are very serious, actually. They carry a maximum of 30 years in prison. Not that he'd ever get that, but that is a pretty stiff penalty that they take very seriously, because bank fraud is very difficult to uncover if everybody's lying. So that charge, he's convicted of two counts of that, and when it comes time for sentencing in July, that could be the biggest hurdle he faces if he's trying to avoid prison time.
One wonders if the name Daly is what also got him closer scrutiny, or we're going to make an example out of you. And so while on the one hand that might be seen as a little unfair, somebody else pointed out to me, did he always use the name Daly? As though that sword cuts both ways, doesn't it? Being Daly Thompson rather than just Thompson maybe opens doors for you, gets you interest-free loans, but by the same token, it'll also get you more scrutiny.
Absolutely. I mean, it does cut both ways. I don't think, I think I saw people were talking like, if your name was John Smith, you know, would you have been charged with this kind of petty, not petty, but small amount of a tax crime?
Yeah.
Maybe not, but if your name was John Smith, you never would have gotten the loans in the first place, and you would have had to pay them back with interest.
Well, the question, but Jason, I think the question for a lot of us, and it's his defense is, look, I've got a couple of kids, I've got a successful tax or a real estate law practice, and I'm on the city council, so I think a lot of us can relate a tiny bit to how complicated our lives get and our numbers get. I think right. If I had an interest-free loan, I would know about that. But I wonder if it's plausible. The jury's decided on this, but I wonder if his defense is at least plausible, if there's any reason to have any sympathy for this guy.
Well, I think his lawyer, Chris Gehr, made some excellent points, and it was not just a cut and dry. The jury did come back relatively quickly, but I thought the points he made about Patrick Daly Thompson's life, how he could have, you know, these are just 1098s. The bank was issuing fraudulent 1098s. He didn't produce those documents, and they went on his tax returns, and he kind of blamed it on his accountant. He blamed it on the bank, which, you know, was a total mess, and the president and CEO, who was the alderman's friend and gave him the loans in the first place, killed himself. There were points to be made there, but obviously in the end, the jury did not buy it.
One of the jurors, I'm now reading from a written report, 30-year-old Kenetta Holden, said one other member of the panel brought up Thompson's connection to the Daly family. She said that person was shut down immediately by others who insisted that political connections should play no role in their decision. Still, they voted to convict. And then one, Holden, said she'd never heard of the Daly family before the trial. This is a juror, said she'd never heard of the Daly family before the trial. As she drove home Monday night, she still wasn't sure who those people were. I might Google it, she said. Then she said, I've got kids. Maybe I won't. I've got better things to do. I guess if you do want an unbiased jury, that sounds pretty unbiased, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing about a trial here is it encompasses pretty much all of Northern Illinois, not just Cook County, if he was on trial at 26 in Cal or something. So a lot of the jurors, and I believe this woman is from pretty far away. I mean, there were jurors from Crystal Lake, Libertyville, Park Forest. I there were very few from Chicago itself.
Yeah.
She's also young and has an 11-month-old baby. So
okay.
I did find it unusual that somebody would not have heard of the Daly name at all, let alone the alderman. But I guess if you live, you know, pretty far away and
well, Libertyville isn't Guam. But one last thing about that. So John Lausch's office, and I know Lausch didn't personally try this case, but his office has time for this, but they don't have time to look more closely into the sentencing of Jason Van Dyke. It would seem to me like he's been so silent on that, but boy, they sure are able to trumpet a victory here. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but I just said that.
No comment, Your Honor. I think the pressure that was put on the U.S. Attorney's Office of following Jason Van Dyke's release was largely, it was political.
I think it was legitimately curious. He could at least answer the question, why haven't you all or didn't you all pursue charges against Van Dyke? That could happen.
Yeah, they tend not to do that, though. But, I mean, that would be unusual for them to say, we investigated something and here's why we're not filing charges. They almost never do that. And they only do it if it's politically expedient, and they may eventually do it. I don't know if the pressure is kept up by senators.
I don't know what
but
it is.
They
I'm not
going
to argue with you on this, Jason. I mean, it would seem to me like it would be he didn't buckle. All we're asking for is an explanation here. So you don't have to change your mind because they're rallying on the courthouse steps, but at least give us a rationale. And I'm sure there is one. Tell us what it is. He didn't.
Yeah. We'll see. They might. I mean, they investigated in tandem with Cook County, and the investigation was still at least fairly active in as late as 2019. But as soon as Van Dyke was convicted and sentenced, all indications we have is that there was a decision made that he got his day in court, he got the sentence that he got.
Fair enough.
Some people weren't happy with it. But that's the way the justice.
I know it would sound like double jeopardy to some people. Technically, it wouldn't be. It'd be a different jurisdiction. But still, Jason Meisner, the Chicago Tribune reporter. Haven't seen you in a while, Jason. It's good to hear your voice. Thanks for saying hello today.
Thanks a lot.
That's Jason Meisner from the Trib.